If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, You Will Be Whole Without That Which You Feel Within. You will be whole without that which you feel within. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And call yourself the Lord God of your being present, manifesting as fully as you can possibly manifest in your physical body, right here and right now. And we're going to clear the consciousness and spiritualize the mind by chanting the HU three times. Deep breath. HU. HU. Now close your eyes and sit quietly. There's nothing you need to do or think about but this. The light within you is enough. The light within you alone has power to give the gift of sight to you. Forget the outer world and let your thoughts fly to the peace within. They know the way. The thoughts that aspire beyond the outer world, untainted by the dream of worldly ambition. These thoughts become the holy messengers of God. These are the thoughts you think with God. And these thoughts guide you home, where you and God are one. These thoughts lead you to peace from where they came. And they came but to remind you how you must return. They heed your Creator's voice when you refuse to listen. They urge you gently to accept God's word for what you are, instead of fantasies and shadows. You are forever one with God, indistinguishable from God. And within time and space, you are an extension of God's love, a loving kiss impressed upon the face of creation. God's presence manifested in human form. And yet you remain the eternal beloved. So you will be whole without that which you feel within. You can open your eyes now and be present. So do you feel the love of God within you now? Right now? Maybe you don't have a reference point for that. Well, my reference point is a feeling of the deepest peace and calm. It's the feeling that all is well. There is nothing within me that is against anyone or anything. Nothing within feels lacking or has the slightest agitation or disquietude. In fact, the peace of God, the love of God, is so non-phenomenal that you might miss it entirely. You might think it's some great euphoric state. Well, sometimes it is. But there's a place in which you just abide in the Lord. And it's not, it doesn't require any kind of outer accoutrements, if you will. It doesn't have anything to do at all with what's going on in the outer world or with the people around you or even where your physical body happens to be parked. It's a state of that deep sense of peace and well-being. And when you're in that state, everything around you gets absorbed in that peace. It's like it muffles chaos. And there's no place for anxiety or fear or concern about the future. It's just a present quietness. And that becomes, you see, our mission as bearers of light, to simply hold that state for humanity, for our brothers and sisters that have yet to get to that point where they find that light within themselves, that love of God that they are, in which they live and move and have their being. They will catch it vibrationally from you and me. So there's a beautiful lesson in the Course in Miracles. I mean, they're all beautiful. But this is lesson 189 in the workbook. I feel the love of God within me now. And I'm going to share it with you because it is, of course, given by the Master Jesus in the only perfect way it could possibly be given. So here's what he has to say. There is a light in you the world cannot perceive. And with its eyes, you will not see this light, for you are blinded by the world. Yet you have eyes to see it. It is there for you to look upon. It was not placed in you to be kept hidden from your sight. This light is a reflection of the thought we practice now. To feel the love of God within you is to see the world anew, shining in innocence, alive with hope, and blessed with perfect clarity, charity, and love. Who could feel fear in such a world as this? It welcomes you, rejoices that you came, and sings your praises as it keeps you safe from every form of danger and of pain. It offers you a warm and gentle home in which to stay a while. It blesses you throughout the day and watches through the night as silent guardian of your holy sleep. It sees salvation in you and protects the light in you, in which it sees its own. It offers you its flowers and its snow in thankfulness for your benevolence. This is the world the love of God reveals. It is so different from the world you see through darkened eyes of malice and of fear, that one belies the other. Only one can be perceived at all. The other one is wholly meaningless. A world in which forgiveness shines on everything, and peace offers its gentle light to everyone, is inconceivable to those who see a world of hatred arising from attack, poised to avenge, to murder and destroy. Yet, is the world of hatred equally unseen and inconceivable to those who feel God's love in them? Their world reflects the quietness and peace that shines in them, the gentleness and innocence they see surrounding them, the joy with which they look out from the endless wells of joy within. What they have felt in them, they look upon and see its sure reflection everywhere. What would you see? The choice is given you. But learn, and do not let your mind forget this law of seeing. You will look upon that which you feel within. If hatred finds a place within your heart, you will perceive a fearful world, held cruelly in death's sharp-pointed, bony fingers. If you feel the love of God within you, you will look out on a world of mercy and of love. Today we pass illusions as we seek to reach to that which is true in us and feel its all-embracing tenderness. Its love, which knows us perfect as itself. Its sight, which is the gift its love bestows on us. We learn that way today. It is as sure as love itself, to which it carries us. For its simplicity avoids the snares, the foolish convolutions of the world's apparent reasoning, but serve to hide. Simply do this. Be still. And lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy, and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course. And come with wholly empty hands unto your God. And so, we'll stop at that point. But Jesus gave the Course in Miracles because we were not getting his message. We were interpreting his message in a way that emphasized the form, but not the spirit that inhabited the form. I suppose it was the people who formulated, the Romans that formulated, the original teachings to create a religion that could be inserted in their pagan way of life and combined in a way that they could use it for their own political advantage at the time. They were given a deadline. They had to come up with a particular perspective. But it was basically tainted with the ego agenda of the group of people at that time that picked and chose certain things to present of the teachings that they could then use to basically form what later became known as the priestcraft, or those who had authority, which at one time was life or death, in which they could mold and control and manipulate people, threatening them with eternal damnation and fire, excommunication, if they disobeyed, and promising a rewarding heaven life afterwards if they behaved. I remember when I was in a convent. I was in convent boarding school. And the woman that taught her, the nun that taught catechism, she told us that if we were not good, if we died with sin on our souls, we would end up in a very, very, we would live in a hut, you know, a shack, basically. We might get into heaven, but we'd be in a shack. And if we were very, very, very good, we would live in palaces. We would have golden dishes and, you know, all that stuff. Even at that young age, I thought that was utter nonsense. Even at that young age, as of a child, I knew better than to buy that malarkey. And then later I got into the New Thought movement, and they're using God as a great bellhop in the sky that they can manipulate by certain affirmations and get more money, get the right mate, get this, get that. And I thought, what utter nonsense. How dishonoring of God. And I got some of my early ministerial training through the New Thought movement, so I was constantly going at it with the professors, pointing out how materialistic and silly it was to think of God as an impersonal law that responds to your affirmations for material benefit. So what we teach each seminar is that you, that which is within you, that divine self, is that Christ consciousness that manifested through the disciple Jesus, who was a disciple just like you and me, one who was learning how to come into perfect accord with the divine within him, which he attained. He attained oneness with the Father, or God. In other words, he became self-realized. In other words, he became God-realized. In other words, he transfigured and transformed the cellular constituency of his body until it was pure light. And he resurrected it when it was supposedly killed. I mean, he did physically die, according to Sai Baba, on the cross. But he also, according to Sai Baba, physically resurrected his physical body. But it was in the state of transfigured glory. In other words, the everything that held to a material carbon-based frequency within his body had become purified into pure light. And he set the way for every single man, woman, and child on the planet, because that's what we're destined to do. And he said that in a nice way just before he was crucified. He told his disciples at the Last Supper that he had to go. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not come. The Comforter, he called him, would not be able to come. What does that mean? It means he had to get his physical form out of the way because people were following the form and they weren't realizing that the same Spirit dwelt in them. The same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that did the miracles and the healings and everything is the same Spirit that abides in you and me. If you don't want to call it Christ, call it Krishna, call it Chaitanya, call it Buddha, call it whatever you want. But it's that divine pattern that every single one of us is designed to exemplify. He did the hard work. He did the show and tell through his physical body. But it was a way, capital W, the way, for us all. And so that's why we speak of him each week, because he's the prototype for us all. He's the example, he's the model. But he's not the only one. We will all get to the point where we say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father save by me. And that doesn't come out of the flesh. That doesn't come out of your illusion about yourself. That comes out of the Spirit of the living God who has completely embodied in and through you. But you won't get there by following somebody else. Oh, maybe for a time. You know, when you're an infant, you need to be led by the hand and helped, you know. When you fall down and you wander off. But I'm talking to light workers who I would presume have some years of spiritual practice behind you. Some years of spiritual practice. And that's the important thing, is that you're committed. You have consecrated your life to awaken to who you truly are and to fulfill that which you've come to manifest, to embody. So that's the important thing. Now, what I find with many, many light workers is that you're not standing in the authority. You're still deferring your power to people, leaders, gurus, teachers, whatever, apart from yourself. Do you know, particularly those of you who are initiates, particularly those who are initiates of the mystical traveler consciousness, because we operate through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek, that's our lineage, and through the Lord Jesus the Christ, do you know that you have the authority to speak for God directly? But to do that as a clear conduit, you have to get that mind of yours completely in agreement with God's Word. Completely in agreement. So that the lower self can't insert lies. What's a lie? Anything that posits a separation between you and God or you and another person, it simply doesn't exist. So that has to be sacrificed. That personal self that's always got a begging bowl hanging out there somewhere and an agenda has to die. It has to be laid aside. As St. Francis said, we must die. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That's what St. Francis meant. It's in dying to the lesser self, the lower self, the ego self. Your selfishness. And we are born to eternal life. And that's the destiny of us all. So as a child of God, as a disciple, as an initiate of the Lord, you have absolute authority to act in His name and power. Not your name, not your power, in His name and His power, until you outgrow the illusion that there's a difference. As long as you think there's a difference, then you act in the name, power, and authority of the Lord Jesus the Christ. So know that wherever you are, God is present in you, as you, operating through you. The angels are present. They are servers of the children of God. They are not to be worshipped. They are not to be prayed to. But they can be requested to assist. They can be requested to assist. There's an angel for everything. An angel for lost articles. An angel for lost pets. An angel that heals pets. An angels of the plant kingdoms, and so on and so on. There's an angel for everything. But it is the Lord God within you, which you can call the inner master or the Holy Spirit, that guards and guides and teaches you, and you need to learn to listen. It comes in as that hunch, as that nudge, as that knowing, which we all have, of what is the right thing to do. And often when that is suggested to us, we don't want to do it, and we sometimes don't listen. And that's when we get into difficulty. So it takes a while to learn to listen. You need to spend some quiet time every day. Just quiet time listening. Just listening. And asking the Lord to reveal to you what would be important, most important for you at this time. Or you can ask a specific question of that nature. And you will begin to receive a flow of thoughts that will just come into your mind. Very gentle, very non-intrusive. It's called the voice of the silence. So it's not like channeling some entity. It's your own inner higher self speaking to you. And, you know, after a while you get so attuned that it's constantly guiding you and you just learn to listen and obey. But it will never guide you to do anything that would harm yourself or another, ever. So it stays out of that ego level where you're trying to manipulate your environment to get things that you want for yourself. That man, that woman, that winning the lottery, whatever. That's all psychic level stuff that will bind you to more karma. Yeah, you're responsible for that. That's using the lower power to get stuff. So your own virtue acts as a shield of protection, as well as your spiritual connectiveness and your connections. When you are initiated along a sacred lineage, for example, the lineage of the avatars through Babaji, the lineage of the Shankaracharyas through Maharishi, Gurudev, the lineage of the Christ, through the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, which, by the way, all of those other lineages work through that too. They all do. Everything comes through the office of the Christ. Maybe called something different, but you judge things by what their fruit is, what they do. And by what they do, you can recognize lineage. You can recognize the spiritual authority. And, of course, there's many, many great Buddhist lineages as well. And lineages within the Sufi. And the Jewish patriarchs. And the Hindu lineages. There's, you see, lineage is very important. Who is your upline? By whose authority do you come into this world to do God's work? We in MSIA are taught very clearly our divine line of authority. So you have authority over any form of negativity. If you want to be real simple, you can say, "Be gone in the name of Jesus," and command it to leave your presence. That would be if there's an interfering spirit. You can command it to leave. You can also say counsel or deflect if you hear a negative statement made about you or you hear yourself make such a statement. You can catch yourself and neutralize it. We're told we have like 60 seconds before it locks into karma. You've got to watch your words because you are speaking with the power of the living God. And your words do not return without an effect. You're affecting creation when you speak. You must discipline that tongue to never put energy or speech into anything that would harm anyone at any time. You spouses must get to the point that you outgrow fighting, quarreling, bickering. You've just got to outgrow that. That's an infantile, inappropriate response for any light bearer. So it starts at home, bringing that personality, bringing that speech, bringing that behavior into alignment with the divine line of authority with which you come forward to do God's work in this world. You have control over the elements. Not to manipulate, "Oh God, please don't make it rain today, I'm going on a picnic." Not nonsense like that. But we always ask for the highest good. If it does not interfere with our spiritual life, if it does not interfere with the free will of any living person, you ask for the light, for the highest good. That's why it's a good thing not to specify what you want to have happen. Who are you to tell God what to do? Do you know the karma? Do you know what's going on? Of course not. Nobody does. So the best way you can intercede is to empty your mind, empty your emotional body so you're not running anxiety and fear and all that stuff, and sit quietly in the silence and ask the Holy Spirit to use you as a conduit of divine love and peace, of the presence of God. Let yourself be the presence, a conduit for the presence of God. And consecrate yourself for that. Every day, consecrate yourself and ask to be used as an instrument of God's love. That love which may be in you is not yet matured, it's still got some ego mixed in there. But if you empty that and just lay that aside and stay out of the mind and the emotions and just ask to be a conduit. Do that when you're watching the weather report. Do that when you're hearing news about the calamities in the world. Right now, we're going through the great cleansing. Sai Baba said that it is due to man's inhumanity to man that we're having these devastating earthquakes and storms and floods. All of that is because when we are not aligned with the peace of God and the love of God, we cause those little elemental spirits that look to us as gods, literally, to a little deva or elemental of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether, we're like a god to them. And if they see us behaving hatefully and with emotions all over the place, killing and fighting and carrying on, it makes them completely deranged. And they can only reflect that energy in the earth changes. That's what they do. Now we're seeing so much good coming out of these horrible earth changes. We're seeing the soul of so many people come forward in loving, caring service. So much prayer. So much caring. Does it take these terrible calamities to make us get off our cell phones and stop our senseless behavior and killing and warring and fighting and carrying on? Does it have to take that to get our attention? Well, apparently it does. Because during the time we have to deal with the cleanup and the destruction and the rebuilding and the aftermath and all of that, the relocation of people, feeding and housing and caring for them, the injured, those who have transitioned out of the body. We're all involved in that, and we're not killing and fighting and doing all that. We forget the religion and the culture and the skin color and all of that. And you just become a true human being, which is full of empathy and love. It doesn't behave like an animal, like most people are living lives of an animal. They're not even at a human level. And we who are light bearers are supposed to live beyond a human level, at a superhuman level. And if you're self-realized, you're here to live at a divine level. When you really wake up, you live as God lives. A God-focused, God-exemplifying life. So back to acting on your authority. You can say to that storm, peace, be still. That's how Jesus calmed the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. But he could only say that because he was a full embodiment of the vibration of peace. So if you have a bad dream or a bad experience, because all experiences, day and night, basically are dreams, you can, in your mind, reframe it. In other words, re-see it, replay it in your mind as you would have liked it to have played out. And see the situation in a completely positive manner, being resolved. Because you know what? When you do that, your body and your emotions and your mind come into agreement with that because they don't know the difference between a thought and an experience. They come as one. It's something we don't realize because we have a little bit of a time lag that we forget that the action and the reaction cometh as one. The giving and the receiving come as one. The problem and the solution come as one. That's why it's so important to stay present. Now, we're in a time when there is a lot of hyperbole, a lot of talking heads, a lot of YouTubes, in which people point out at various times different dates. And many people try to manipulate those dates to line up with some belief system that they have, whether it's based on the scriptures, whether it's based on a prevailing New Age belief, whatever. But you'll see the people purposely trying to connect the dots to make their point of view come true. And you see this tendency again and again and again. What they're doing is actually a sign of fear and a desire to control the outcome. A person who is self-aware, who is centered in the love of God, doesn't need to do that. They live in the moment in the presence of peace and the love of God, recognizing that everything is God-ordained, everything in time-space has already been lived out. There's nothing new under the sun. You are simply seeing the recycling of old thought patterns and beliefs over and over and over again. On September 23rd, in a few days, there's a very unusual arrangement of stars in the heavens that relate to the positioning that could be interpreted from the 12th chapter of Revelation about the woman, childbearing woman in the sky. Some of the YouTubes say that this is happening for the first time ever, and there's others that go on and say it's happened thousands of times in the past. So what do you go with? I think the wisest thing to do is to put the future in the hands of God and be present here and now with what God has given you to be present with. Very few of us are God-ordained, anointed prophets. A real prophet is able to discern the signs in the heavens and to interpret them. But I find even with a majority of modern prophets, they will interpret along a particular belief system, which, of course, limits, because you can only get it if it's in the Bible. You can only get it if it's aligned with this or it's aligned with that. So you see, at some point, you have to leave aside the things of the past and be present here and now with the Spirit of the living God, who will speak into your life, into your mind, into your knowing, exactly what you need to know at any given moment. But if you don't put down the devices, the technology, the cell phones, the whatevers, and spend time in the silence, you're too noisy, too much static. Nothing can get through. But if you are anointed to be a prophet, there is no doubt about it. You will be called, like it or not, and you will feel the heavy weight of responsibility of that mantle when it's given to you. And it will be confirmed from without by at least three witnesses. And that's pretty much true. But just about any really powerful mantle that you may be given. A lot of people imagine that they have things given to them in spirit that is nothing more than their own imagination. If you follow that, you'll find there's some personal attachment to name, fame, popularity, being noticed, some ego agenda lurking there, or making some money, or getting famous. Those that really, really are called of God live kind of a quiet life behind the scenes. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. And another thing I wanted to go into is that there's a lot of talk about dimensions as if they were different from here and now. Please know that dimensions are vibrational states of consciousness. They're not separate from where you are sitting right now. You shift vibration by becoming more light, by becoming more love, by becoming more peace, which is simply to raise your vibration to where you consistently hold that state. Then you can say you have shifted dimensions. But you don't disappear from here and now. Everything is here now. It's available as a vibration that you can raise your consciousness into or not. Every state of consciousness is available to you right now. It is your choice. And like Jesus told us in the Course in Miracles, the whole world will take on that vibrational perspective. Okay? If you continually hang out with people at a particular level of vibration, you will resonate at that field of consciousness. That's why satsang is so important. Where you keep company with people who are awake, aware, enlightened. You have to do a little searching sometimes. But you can ask and pray to be drawn into the company of people who are truly seeking God. They're rare. They're rare. Most people want to spiritualize their worldly life. You know, they'll do the yogas, they'll do the diet, they'll do the, you know, all the outer behaviors that form a lifestyle, and they stop there. You know, as if being a vegan was the whole thing. Or doing yoga. Or, you know, whatever. We don't realize we have to dissolve the whole sense of being a person itself. We have to utterly die to the person that we think we are, that we imagine we are, and jump absolutely naked into nothingness. You know, going through that shamanic death. And in that shock of going into the absolute unknown, that leap into the void, you awaken. Now, some people are going through that right now with these tremendous storms. They are facing death, imminent death, which can, in some cases, be their shamanic death. When they let go attachment to their body, they let go attachment to their life, all the accoutrements that have gone into defining who they are, where they live, what they're all about, they have an opportunity to make a tremendous leap spiritually. And I believe many are doing that. Well, there's a time and a season for all things in time-space, which is cyclic. It keeps repeating. We're in the cycle that happens before every major shift into a higher vibrational state of uprooting and purifying. You could call it the Shiva cycle, when everything is uprooted and destroyed. Why? To make room for the new forms. You're not alone. The masters are living in the physical world, many of them, and they're here to help. To help solve the present global problems. They're here to halt the train that presently looks like it's speeding into waiting disaster, so we don't, like foolish children, destroy the planet. So it's important to know that we are not alone, nor are we meant to go through the massive task of restructuring this world without assistance. We are in the cycle when we're going to be forced to go into a new way of living that honors the earth, that gets off the commercial base, the market forces, the wheeling and the dealing that has defined life in the third dimension. We're exiting that paradigm, moving in the time of co-creating together and of cooperative endeavor as a world family. Not a world under the control of any group of people, but through self-governance, that each of us takes responsibility for acting in the wisdom that enhances the collective good of everyone. And once we get this profit at any cost, this competitive profit at any cost mindset, healed from within ourselves, we'll find that that vibration begins to impact the people around us. More and more people are getting off the grid. They're living simpler, much simpler lives. They're downsizing. How foolish it would be to rebuild on many of these islands and the Florida Keys, which obviously, with the rising of the sea, are going to go underwater. Obviously. The Lord has done you a favor by destroying all that stuff, so now you have a choice. You don't have to rebuild on the seashore. This cycle of planetary cleansing is going to go on for a while. And before it's finished, it's going to impact everyone. Everyone in some way. So pay attention. Pay attention. Self-awareness is not about making yourself right or wrong. It's all about noticing. It's about listening, observing, and noticing, and exercising conscious self-directing. Keeping present with yourself in a detached way. You get to the point that staying conscious and aware and focused here and now with practice becomes automatic. And when it does, then you can let it go. It's like driving a car. You no longer have to think every little step through. You become one with your ability, one with your process. But the key is to quiet the mind, quiet the static, the noise in your life, which is all internal. Because into a quiet mind, all that needs to become aware of dawns. All knowledge required in the moment simply becomes available directly without having to think about it. So regarding these prophecies and the days and the dates and all of that stuff, they all attach to specific worldviews that people hold. So I would ask you, what is your knowing? What have you been shown? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal everything to you that you need to know. Not about somebody else so that you can manipulate them, but you. What have you got directly from your inner knowing? So the elders who have gone before us and attained self-mastery and conscious immortality and live in spiritualized bodies as embodiments of conscious divinity, they're here in our midst. And they are here to work with us, guiding and directing, as we together, under their mentorship, under their suggestions, create the new forms required to house the new energies of this new state of consciousness that we are gradually moving into. And one other thing. Many people are worried about Nibiru crashing into the earth. According to Jalila Star, who is the head of the Nibirian Council here on earth today, she said it's not going to happen. That's been given to her to share. And I, speaking on behalf of the Ashtar Command, would also say you're in a cycle of earth changes. Going to continue for a while. You certainly do not need to go to war. I hope you don't make that choice or allow your leaders to take you in that direction. But there again, you're given free will. We do send emissaries from the command to speak to all world leaders, giving suggestions on how to defuse global tensions and flashpoints where war is a possibility. That doesn't mean they're going to listen to us. And we can't force. We can advise. But the choice is yours. So it's your inner feeling that manifests the world that you experience as an individual. Do you feel the love of God, the peace of God, the calm of God right now? Because out of that feeling, you will see a world that matches. The way we look at things determines the way things appear. Simple law, quantum physics. How you look at a thing depends on how it manifests in your reality, because it's all within. See through the eyes of love. Ask to have the gaze of the Master look through your eyes. And look for the good and the divine and the praiseworthy and the virtuous and the holy in all people and things. And leave everything up to God. Leave everything else in God's hands. Be divine seers. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope I've answered the many questions that have been set forth to me. So let's raise our hands and visualize the earth in front of us. And we send love and light and peace to all of the kingdoms of nature, to all of the elementals and the devas and the angels. We send light and love and peace and joy to all the men and women and children and animals, everyone who is at this time going through earth changes, and those of us that it may be our turn tomorrow. We don't know that. But stay prayed up. In other words, live your life complete every day so that if you don't return to the body in the morning, you don't have any regrets. Leave nothing good unsaid. Leave no love unexpressed. Leave no grievance unforgiven. Every day, walk with God. Commune with God. And be God's presence in this world, because for that you were born. For that you are here. For that you are anointed. And let's chant Anahu as we send that wonderful, loving vibration of empathy out to bless everyone. We'll do it three times. Deep breath. Anahu. Initiatory tone, or hue, or anti-hue, or Om Shanti as you're watching the news. And by the way, when I went on the air, they had the wrong intro clip that they played for my show. I have not changed the time of my show. It is still 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, God bless you. We love you. The peace of God be with you. Adonai.